Hey, this is Jeremy Camp.
Hey, it's Michael Cochran from Cochran & Company.
Hey, this is Mandisa.
Hey, this is Mac Howell. And happy Thanksgiving. You're listening to 91.3 WCSG.
91.3 WCSG, family friendly and commercial free. Welcome and thank you for listening to part one of the WCSG Thanksgiving special podcast. This episode will feature me, Steve,
Kathy,
Tom,
and Joel.
Get ready to gather around the old virtual dinner table surrounded by heartwarming stories so you can savor the flavors of Thanksgiving as we dive into the world of gratitude and giving thanks. I can almost smell the turkey baking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sweet potatoes and marshmallows.
Yes.
Those mashed potatoes look good too.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
It's the butter and the cream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we are well into the final quarter of the year, and as we celebrate Thanksgiving, two things. First, take a moment to reflect on something you are thankful for, and then second, what's something that you would still like to do before the end of the year?
I am thankful. I know this is might sound cheesy, but I'm really, really thankful for my WCSG family. Aww, I love this job.
That's sweet.
It's such a great place to come every day. Such a positive, warm environment. Well, except for when the AC is on in the summer. It's not super warm, but you know, you know what I'm saying. I love you guys so much, and I'm so, so thankful for this job. And the thing that I am looking forward to before the end of the year is finishing up my treatments and getting this port removed for my my chemo treatments and a corn maze with my daughter. Yeah.
Well, we're not thankful at the same for time. You. That's really sweet.
That would be something. Get that the final treatments in a corn maze.
Yeah, right?
It doesn't sound very hygienic.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a cool maze in the hospital or something.
There. They can bring some corn in.
Yeah.
Just kind of throw it
anytime
around.
Anytime I go to a hospital, it does feel a little like a maze.
Right?
How do I get to the...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. All right, I'll go next. Thankful for... I know this sounds kind of boring, but as adults, we get excited about things that are kind of boring. I got new insulation in our walls and attics. We had like an inch in our attic and none in most of our walls. So we got insulation put in, and I'm really excited to see those heating bills go down.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. So that'll be fun.
That's amazing.
I know.
That's
I know. Great. I'm psyched. I'm like, yay, I can't wait. Also family, of course. And something that I'm hoping to do before the year's end, just slow down a little bit. You know, things can get kind of fast paced and hectic. I know that the holiday season can be hustle and bustle, but some things fell off, like my son's baseball and stuff like that. So just looking forward to slowing down and just spending quality time with the family, a little more slow paced, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Wow, that's interesting, because that's kind of similar to what I had been thinking about as well. Not necessarily the insulation part, but more about the family. But our two youngins are getting a little bit older, and so it's now watching them grow into their adulthood. We had our youngest just turn 18 this year, and so that was a huge celebration. But to watch them grow and to not only grow just as people and learning new skills and developing as human beings, but also seeing aspects of their own faith that are beginning to develop more has been really encouraging. So I'm really grateful for that. And what I'm thankful for and looking forward to for the year is also kind of like what you mentioned as well, as really taking in this holiday and Christmas this year. It just seems like they just fly through. Like you get so much going on. But this year, I'm really looking forward to them. I'm hoping that we can have more time, again, just to slow down and just savor those moments. Maybe I'm just getting too old and I'm getting, you know, not necessarily nostalgic, but certainly enjoying more of that time to be together. Maybe it's because our kids are getting older and they're doing their own things more and more. But longing for those times just to be together as a family.
I made that a prayer recently. It's like, Lord, just help these days to slow down so I can savor each one.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to count those days and just give me that heart of wisdom. So, yeah, it's a good prayer.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I think as I thought back kind of over this year, specifically about something I'm thankful for, it would have to be my son's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So my son David and Alyssa, my new daughter-in-law, got married back in May.
Yay.
And just really, really grateful for them. I mean, Alyssa, they've been engaged for quite a while, so we've considered her a daughter, you know, for a long time. But like, just to see them now so excited to be married. You know, like anytime I'm hanging out with David, he sort of like jokingly says, so my wife, he'll refer to her like, you know, he'll emphasize that. This is my wife, Alyssa.
He likes it.
Yes. They're really, I don't know, just to see God's work there in their lives has been great. So I'm just grateful for that. And I think what I'm hoping for by the end of the year, although I don't want to really put like a deadline on it, but Kelly and I have just felt for a while like we're in sort of a transitional space. Mm-hmm. Like there's just like some future direction that we've been seeking the Lord on. Does she go back to school? Does she go back to work full time? And just, you know, like kind of where our kids are at. It just feels like there's something new on the horizon. And so just to get that, maybe some direction and clarity on that would be something that I would hope for here in these next couple of months, maybe.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The holidays are a great time to gather and reconnect with family. And often this happens in our living rooms or around the kitchen table and includes a game or two, of course. Mm-hmm. Imagine the situation is in your home. What board game or card game are you playing and who wins?
Okay, for us, it would definitely be apples to apples. That's a big one. Yeah. Tough. We've got some littler ones,
right.
7 and 9, so they don't quite get the words or the concepts yet, but it's a great way for them to learn those words and concepts.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I wish it was me who would win, but usually it's my wife. She's got this kind of quasi-psychic connection with the kids,
and
they end up picking her more than me.
Okay, so. I got to ask. I've never played this game.
All right.
It's awesome.
It's fun.
What is it about?
Okay, so you've got like a concept or kind of a feeling emotion like excitement or terror or terrified or things like that, and then it correlates with maybe people or things or places, and you have to match the two together via two different cards, and then people have to guess which one matches best, and the one who matches best wins that round.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you play it, Joel, you'll catch on
really
quickly.
It's pretty easy.
It's self-explanatory. Easy. Better. It explains itself better than people trying to explain.
Right. Like you look at the card and you're like, oh, I get it.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Did I do bad explaining it? Was that kind of close?
No. Okay. Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
Like, but so it's like there's green cards and red cards, and once you kind of get them in front of you, you're like, okay, I see it.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You all match the cards.
Right.
If the word is terror and you have the word like haunted house, if you have that card, you'd play that for terror.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Or you can pick the humor side. Maybe it's someone who's not necessarily a terror, but you
right,
know,
right, right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you can go any which way you want with right. it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a game that's maybe even more difficult to explain.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
And it is not
cribbage.
It's not cribbage. Settlers of Catan. No.
Oh, no.
It's neither board nor card. It is like a TV game. I wouldn't call it a video game. It's a Jackbox game.
Yeah.
So many people are familiar with Jackbox games. And when we get together with my sister and her family, we often, well, my favorite is one called TKO.
I knew you were going to say that.
Where you design a t-shirt. So everybody on their phone does a little piece of artwork, okay, or several, and you shoot them off into the, I don't know, cloud or the ether or wherever. And then you also work on these little slogans, all right? So you're typing a slogan in, all right? And then there's a section of the game where you combine the two, where you're shown different pieces of art that people in the room have made and different slogans that people in the room have made, and you put them together on a t-shirt, all right?
Okay.
And Kathy's daughters are amazing artists.
They are.
But very different styles.
Uh-huh.
Very different styles. Isabel, I'm just like, I have no idea how you were able to do that detail on this little thing on your phone.
With her finger.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's Cassie, freehand, is it? Or do you pick?
It's like out of palette. It's,
okay.
You know, a basic palette.
Sure.
Anyway, then Cassidy's, hers are just like absurd. It's just like, I don't know what style of art that
abstract.
Is. Abstract. Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, and then my sons, some of the phrases they come up with are just hilarious. And this is the combination. So I hope to be the one to win because I picked the best piece of art with the best slogan to really make you laugh. I'm always dying on the floor when I see these t-shirts come out.
Sounds fun.
It is a real fun game.
Creative.
You can actually order the t-shirts too.
Yes, once the game is over,
then
you can buy the t-shirts. So brilliant on the game.
No kidding.
Which we've done a couple times and sometimes I'll just wear it just to make people in our family laugh. Like I don't wear it outside the family situation because they're weird.
They are. But anyway, that is what it is for me.
All right. So I think this is a pretty self-explanatory game. It's called Pictionary.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been around for a long time. Actually, when I was teaching art, we would play it in the class, and I would teach the best strategies for doing Pictionary. Like, you do symbols. You don't try to draw it accurately. You just got to learn to draw fast and draw symbols. Anyway.
That's a game that isn't self-explanatory to me. I don't understand.
Really?
Well, because I assume it's all just pictures of canaries, right?
Stop.
You combine picture and canary.
Canary.
How many different canary styles can you make?
Oh, Steve.
Sorry, go on.
See, maybe on the Galapagos Islands, there's bloody deeds a day.
Exactly. Anyway, so if we're playing this with my family, it's anybody's game. But see, it's all about communication, and whoever can understand my brain the best. So my husband, he gets my brain. So if we're on a team, we got a good chance at winning. Even though neither one of us are the best artists in our family, he kind of understands what I'm getting at. And I can draw a symbol from something in our past. It can trigger a memory. Anyway, so I'm probably winning this game, but it's really anybody's game in our family.
I find it very interesting. So far, we all want to be the winner,
of course,
of the game.
That's what
there's a little bit of.
That's why we chose the game that we chose.
True. Yes. Okay. All right. Go on.
Well, I don't think I'm going to break that cycle anytime soon here. The game that we started playing a while back, especially when the kids, well, obviously when the kids were younger, is called Exploding Kittens.
Oh, that one.
Have you ever heard of this game?
I've heard the name.
The Exploding Kittens. It's basically a semi-strategy game where you're trying not to get the exploding kittens card. And there are a bunch of them within the big pile. I think there's like 52 or 60 cards, whatever. But your basic strategy is to try and survive. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to get the exploding kittens. But if you do get the exploding kittens card, there is a card that you can hold, which you can use to defuse the exploding kitten. And so then you get to put everything back into the pile again. But the object is to remain the last person without getting an exploding kittens. And there's all kinds of other cards that you can play. There's burritos involved and tacos and hairy backs. And it's just really quite an extraordinary game. We really love it. And it's something that we play during the holidays, whenever, especially when we're stuck inside. But it's always been kind of fun. It's always been something. But probably by about the fourth or fifth round, we're done. And everybody's kind of like, okay, bring that tension down a little bit. It's so anxiety inducing that it just creates this, okay, we've got to break. We got to take a break.
I think just the name Exploding Kittens is stressful.
So I'm feeling anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
Sitting here. No kittens are injured during the game itself.
I'm weeping inside. Yeah. Fun stuff. Well, outside of the spirit of thankfulness and the feeling of fullness from eating too much, Thanksgiving is also known for football and the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. If you could attend one of these events, which one would you choose? Football or parade? And why? Just a little backstory. The games this year, Green Bay Packers versus the Lions, Washington Commanders versus the Cowboys, and San Francisco 49ers versus the Seattle Seahawks. So there you go.
I guess I'm not really a parade person. Don't really enjoy them. Not a parade watcher. If you do, God bless you. Glad that for you. Have a wonderful time. But I am a Minnesota Viking fan and have been since my youth. I am one of those people that believes once you have a team in mind, that's the team you stick with. I know there are other people who have
for
multiple.
For life.
Yes. Yes. We are ride or die with the Vikings. And in past few years, it's kind of been the latter. But not so much as the Lions. So anytime I get to watch the Lions lose on Thanksgiving, which is quite often, and although I know this year started out really great, we'll see. But nevertheless, I'll watch the football game. I've not been to one on Thanksgiving Day, but I have been to professional football games before. They're just a cool atmosphere, electric, very intense. Crowds are awesome, especially if you get in the right sections. But I would take the football game over the parade any day.
Well, I am going to go with a football game as well, just because I like to be with my husband, and I'm pretty sure that's the one that he would choose. Yes.
Sweet.
Good.
And you know, it would have to be somewhere that's like, if it's really cold, it would have to be one of those indoor dome. What are they called? Like a dome thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I know so much about football. But also assigned seats, right? I mean, at a parade, you got to get there at the crack of dawn and get a place on the side of the parade route. And I am A, not a morning person, and B, not a like super like claustrophobic, got to find my space kind of person. So that those are some other reasons why the football game over the parade.
And not only do you have to get there early, there are some communities where you are allowed to set stuff up the night before.
Yeah, I'm not camping out.
And then they cordoned off other sections where you can't go.
Yeah.
I mean, because the parades, they're very popular. People like them. But setting out your chair a night or two beforehand just to be able to stake out a spot, I'll take the crowd at the football stadium.
I know. I feel like they'd be friendlier at the football stadium.
I'm with you guys. My answer is purely for carnal reasons. Has little to do with preference. Not a big football fan. I'll say that right out of the gate. But I do love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We record it every year and watch it over and over. seriously, the thought of standing for hours, though, like you, Kathy, waiting for that parade, then being stuck where you are for the entire parade just sounds awful. However, the thought of concession stands and bathrooms
and
a nice seat sounds great. So for that reason, I'm picking football. Football wins. And I do like the electricity at games, even though I don't watch football on TV. I do like going to the games.
Different atmosphere, different feeling.
It is. Okay, well, I'm going to be the opposing viewpoint.
Awesome.
I'm going to the parade. And I sort of have a plan for addressing, you know, the like getting a good spot and all that kind of stuff. But in both scenarios, for me, both the football stadium and the, you know, downtown Manhattan parade, there's going to be parking issues. Mm-hmm. There's going to be navigating your way to where you got to go. There's going to be the claustrophobia of the crowd in both of those scenarios. I sort of love New York City.
I went to
Manhattan several years ago and have wanted to take Kelly there ever since. So I just love the idea of Kelly and I going and making like a long weekend of it and catching the parade as part of it.
That's nice.
So we're in New York City, and whatever we're able to catch of the parade itself is great. It's kind of a bonus. And like I said, I kind of have a plan for how to deal with, you know, that
the crowd.
Well, and getting a good spot.
Mm.
So
that's
my answer.
Wow, you thought that out.
No kidding. Yeah. Went through that. All right, well, the Thanksgiving dinner table is a gathering place for family, friends, and even neighbors, sometimes strangers. However, what if you could eat Thanksgiving dinner with your favorite TV show character? Who would it be, past or present?
All right, you guys might not know who this is. His name is Stan. And he's from a show called Dog with a Blog. And he's a dog, and he's a talking dog.
Oh, boy.
But he's very sophisticated and cute. And I don't know how, but this show didn't last. It was on Disney. I don't know how it didn't last. But I feel like he would be very entertaining. I feel like he'd be polite. You know, he's a talking dog, so he probably wouldn't eat my food. But anyway, it's any time I get to spend time with a dog, I'm going to choose that. But if it has to be human, then it would be Alice from the Brady Bunch.
Okay.
Oh.
Because she was the lifeblood of that family. Like she was, you know, with the humor. She's my favorite character on that show. And also, there's nobody that needs a break more than Alice. She needs to sit down and get a meal for once. Well, am I right?
Off your feet.
I was really, I was hoping you were going to go that way because I saw it in, of course, the way I process things. That you were like planning on her preparing an awesome Thanksgiving. And I'm like, oh, she needs to be a guest.
Maybe she could give me some tips, but I'm not going to expect that.
Right.
She gets night off.
That's good. Okay, so for me, it would be Jerry Seinfeld. Not the actual Jerry Seinfeld, but the character Jerry Seinfeld from Seinfeld. And this is what my plan is. When Kelly and I go to New York, to Manhattan, we get together with him to have, you know, Thanksgiving, and he's probably got connections for watching the parade from somebody's, you know, townhouse apartment.
Yes.
That
so we can
makes
look
sense,
down
yeah.
through the windows, through the big bay windows. We can look down, and the big balloons will be going right by at eye level.
Watch with those balloons.
Why are these balloons so big?
And it'd be so entertaining, too.
What is the deal with the marching band? So it would be entertaining. You know, he would probably, you know, keep us on our toes and laughing, and every once in a while, maybe something awkward happens. Somebody, you know, has a pony at the dinner table and they get offended. But I mean,
you crack out the Festivus pole right there a little early.
These are the things you remember from a good Thanksgiving meal, is not just the funny, but also the awkward moments.
Yes.
That's nice.
That'll stay with you, and we'll have a good seat for the parade.
Okay, so we're talking TV show character, not actors, because if it was an actor, I think I'd pick Hugh Jackman. I love him. I love his work. But a TV character from a show, I think I'd pick Jimmy McGill, Saul Goodman. Not from Breaking Bad, but from the early days of Better Call Saul. There was just something about him. I loved his character. He was flawed, but I feel like he was stretching to do good, had some good intentions. So that's a guy that I think that I would want to sit down with and maybe talk a little more to.
Get legal advice?
Maybe not legal advice from him. He's a little, like I said, a little flawed. But I always rooted for him. I loved that guy. So I always wanted him to win, but he never quite did.
Right.
Well, as I began to think about it, there was two people that kind of came to my mind. And the first one was Mr. Rogers.
Mm.
And the second one was Captain Kangaroo.
Oh.
And these are part of my childhood. And I remember growing up watching them at various stages. But the reason why is not because they're phenomenal people. That's a given. But I've got so many questions.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many questions I want to know about. Well, tell me what you were thinking when this was going on, or what was going through your mind when you created this, or, you know, I guess maybe it's just my curiosity, but it's a little bit more about getting that connection again with that character, but understanding them a little bit deeper, because I think you get so much from them. They both were such giving people, but at the same time, it's like, okay, well, tell me a little bit more about what motivated you to start this. Tell me a little bit more what motivated you to have this person or this character. Tell me what was the idea behind creating this separate world.
Captain Kangaroo, what is with the haircut? Why did you decide with the bowl?
Yes. 50-year-old men have bowl cuts. It's more of an 8-year-old kid circa 1979 thing.
Yes, you're right.
But was that intentional? Was that so, or is that just, you know, something that he did is just kind of how he was, and that's how he presented? But what's the motivation behind all this? What's going on here? I want to know.
And why are you captain of the kangaroos? I mean, what is that?
Well, I thought
like?
That was cool. Yeah. I was like, you have command over all the kangaroos? This is awesome.
Seriously.
Command your kangaroo army. Go.
No, put whatever you want in the little
Because at
pockets.
One point, he was maybe in a kangaroo court situation.
He was
kangaroo first.
Steve-O's dad jokes coming out again.
Hierarchy.
He just likes pockets, I think.
Yeah, he does. Big pocket guy. Well, happy Thanksgiving. As we wrap up this podcast special about Thanksgiving, thank you for spending time with us. And from all of us at WCSG, we hope that you have a wonderful holiday season and a very happy Thanksgiving.
Family Friendly 91.